The topic of our sermon today is the church in Thyatira, be faithful to the end. And we welcome our speaker, Brother Ifeanyi Anagho, to share the word as we look forward to learning more about this aspect of our quarter's theme on letters to the churches. What is the Lord saying to us? You're welcome, sir.
Praise the Lord. The theme says, what is the Lord saying to us? My wish and expectation is that we are really asking a question we mean. Because if we are, the answer is that God has something to say. God has something to say to us as a people. And I'm asking the Lord this morning to open my mouth and open my heart. To open your heart too. To hear what God has to say. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. The Bible says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Or let your gentleness be evident to all men. Because the Lord is at hand. Praise the Lord. The Lord is at hand, not just as a present help in time of trouble, like he is with us today. He's at hand eschatologically, that is to say, by what is happening around the world today. There are three signposts for a man to know or interpret the times we are in. One is the world, its systems, its politics, its economics, its religion, its sociology. As you watch it, something will tell you that the Lord is on his way. Second is Israel. If you look at the rise of anti-Semitism today all over the world, United Nations, Europe, and everybody targeted against Israel, you will know that the Lord is at hand. The only thing is that when you read Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2 to 3, and chapter 14, verse 2 to 3, you'll find what God will do with those nations when the time comes. But the Lord is at hand. The last signpost is the church. When you look at the miasma, the confusion, the decadence in the church today, it tells you that the Lord is at hand. Not many churches talk about the message to the seven churches in Asia Minor. It's not a very popular message. It's not, because when you do, then your thinking is reshaped, your focus is reshaped, and your values change. Seven churches in Asia Minor that had seven challenges, but those challenges and those churches were also historical. In other words, as you look back at history, you will see when those things happened in history. And it will lead you to ask yourself, where are we now? For free, I will tell you, we are at the last church age. The age of the church in Laodicea. That's where we are now. The next thing after this church age is evacuation. Rapture. Going back home. Hapazo. Because after that scripture, in Revelation chapter 3, and verse, the last verse, the next thing in chapter 4 is the heavens opened and your head come up. I'm sure you've dealt with the church in Exodus, the church in Ephesus, that is called the Orthodox Church, that happened in history between AD 30 and AD 100, when there was everything was right. Orthodox means right teaching, right believing, right acting, not the one you know today. Orthodox means they believed correctly, they acted correctly, they evaluated things correctly. The Bible says among them about them, they know how to fish out false prophets. That's Orthodox. Ephesians. The second church age, minor, From AD 100 to AD 313, they persecuted church. Third church age, Pergamum. AD 313 to AD 606, the compromising church. Fourth church age, Thyatira. AD 606 to AD 1520, almost 1,000 years, the Basque leading church. Fifth church age, Sardis. AD 1520 to 1650, the dead church. Church that pretended to be alive, but is dead. Sixth church age, Philadelphia. 1650 to about 1950, revived church. That's when we have evangelicalism, missionaries coming to Africa and all over the whole place. That's Philadelphia. Last church age, Laodicea, the apostate church. That's the church that will usher us to the Great Tribulation. And everybody who manifests the tendencies of this church, if you make rapture, it's a miracle. Church that goes about saying, I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing. A thoroughly materialistic church. That's Laodicea. That's where we are now. That's the truth. And I'm praying to God that if the tendencies of that church is inside of you, ask God for mercy. But this morning we're looking at the church in Thyatira. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Church in Thyatira. And I'm going to just select a few things because you know in this church, before you can say Jack Robinson, they give you paper. I hope you know. So you don't waste their time. Praise the Lord. The church in Thyatira was a church known as the backsliding church. Church had a semblance of being alive. The Bible says in verse 18, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, God did not want to send a message orally, verbally, to the pastor, that word angel means messenger, or pastor, to the pastor of the church in Thyatira, write. And everything that was addressed to the pastor, that was wrong with the pastor, was wrong with the church. Praise the Lord. Because it is the pulpit that controls the pew. If there is holiness on the pulpit, there will be holiness in the pew. If there is materialism on the pulpit, donate, sow seed. I can tell you, the pew will go out and look for money by all means. That's the truth. So instead of writing a general, God said to the angel, to the pastor of the church in Thyatira, write. And he began to write. Said, I know your works and charity and service and faith and patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. A church suffocated by works. Good works. A church that could look like, if you look at the various programs that they are running, men's fellowship, women's fellowship, boys' fellowship, girls' fellowship, homophobic fellowship, all kinds of fellowship. You will think they are alive. And the Lord said, yes, you are doing good. The quantity of your works, even the last set of works, more than the first set, I noticed it. He said, but I have a few things against you. Verse 20 says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed to idols. Brethren, when you hear Jezebel, what comes to your mind? The first mention, the first issue that God raised with that church was the ministry of a woman called Jezebel, a self-styled prophetess. History actually says that that woman was the wife of the pastor. Yes. So when a husband calls himself a prophet, she calls herself what? Prophetess. A teaching prophetess. Accused of encouraging God's people to live in fornication and to eat food sacrificed to idols. Actually, it means syncretism. In other words, mixture. Like Jezebel of the Old Testament, who brought Baal worship into Israel. This one was bringing false worship into the house of God. That Jezebel. It was a rise of women ministry those days. Women dominance in ministry those days. In history, that was a period when there was, in the Catholic Church, traditional church, there was a rising of women, powerful women inside the church. One of them, a prostitute, high-class prostitute, sponsored her son to become a pope in that period. When I say 606 to 1520, so many things happened. A pope at that time, you can go and Google it, called Alexander the Sixth, had 9 children, and was sleeping with his daughter. If you go and check Catholic Encyclopedia, they will tell you that Alexander the Sixth is one of the 6 popes that went to hell. Yes. That was the period. Women exercise power in the nation and inside the church. And somehow, you see something like that happening now. I could just imagine that Jezebel of Thyatira is alive now. I could see her on the billboards in Lagos with her husband. The husband is a prophet on the billboard. Jezebel, a prophetess, putting her hands around on his shoulders. In the pictures. Yes. She cannot even, behind the scenes, she's the one wielding power. Because behind the scene, Jezebel of Israel was wielding power over Ahab. So the husband does what she tells him to do. And when you see them, you know, they smile. Have you seen a photograph on these billboards where they are frowning? Huh? They're always smiling, but most of the time, plastic smiles. Not real. And when they put their hands on the husband's shoulders, you see growing talons. You know what I call talons? Huh? All those artificial fingers they put on. Huh? Well painted, some blue, some green, some red. And on the husband's shoulders. That is Jezebel. Praise the Lord. 2 Kings. Chapter 9. 2 Kings chapter 9. Are you there with me? Verse 30. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. And she painted her face and tied her hair and looked out at the window. Hello? Hello? I don't know why God's people, God's children, want to ape and imitate Jezebel. Jezebel, the day she died, had a beauty kit beside her. She died that day, but there was a beauty kit. As soon as she heard that Jehu was coming, she went and made up her face and arranged her hair. Hello? Inordinate affection, inordinate, you know, mad, inordinate focus on worldly physical beauty. Women whose main concern is how to look beautiful on the body, not inside the spirit. That's Jezebel. So she was painted up, her hair properly arranged. That was the day she died. So when a church encourages those kind of inordinate affections for the things of this world fleeting, Jezebel is somewhere hanging around. So when you are getting ready for church, you are getting ready for church, and you stand before the mirror, and you begin to put all those lines, it's not bad to look good, though. Amen? It's not bad to look good. But when that becomes an inordinate, what you focus on, more than the time you spend in God's presence, then Jezebel is around. That's the truth. Because all those things you are doing, whether you're a man or a woman, dressing, doing this and doing that, I can tell you, my gods are looking at you and they are just waiting for you. My gods, all those things we do, what are you? My gods are waiting. They will chop food tire. We'll spend how many minutes before church? You can even come to church late because you must dress to match. Abi? You can be late in church. The old man will be shouting, say, come in. He said, no, dear, wait for me. Can I say this morning that Jezebel's spirit is received inside the church today? It's not a question of this issue of not. No, I'm not just talking about beauty contests. No. I'm talking about attention, focus, values. That's Jezebel. When women begin to dominate preaching from the pulpit, they say it's the church of human rights. I hope you know that Laodicea means human rights. The root word of Laodicea means human rights. Church of human rights. It's my turn. Abi? Yes. Church of human rights. But you see, brethren, Jesus said something. He said, I've given this woman time to do what? I've given the church time to repent. To change. Because the master will not punish except he has warned. The Bible says God has no business, has no joy that people perish. But then it should come to repentance. Verse 21 says, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication. And she repented not. Jezebel does not discourage fornication in church. No. Preaching against adultery and fornication is politically incorrect. Hello? There are some sins you talk about. Somebody will come to you and say, if you preach like this again, next time, church will be empty. Because you're touching on things that people feel. You should be politically correct. Brethren, heaven is not for politically correct people. Heaven is for those who are interested in doing what God wants. Because brethren, you know, the topic today says what? What is the topic? Somebody tell me the topic now. Huh? Good. An end is coming. Some people start well and end badly. It's only those who started well or who along the line changed and repented and ended well. We hear well done. We hear welcome. So the issue is not how you started. The issue is how you're going to end. How I'm going to end. That is the issue. And the Lord said, I've given her time to repent. She failed to. Behold, I will cast her into a bed of sickness. And them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Brethren, I want to announce to us that people who nurture the spirit of Jezebel, people who are influenced by Jezebel inside church, even now, they are on the highway to the great tribulation. What it means is that they will miss the rapture. The spirit of Jezebel is the spirit of worldliness now. It's worldliness. Capital chattel worldliness. Yes. Being worldly. The Bible says we're in the world, but we are not of the world. Jesus said, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, he said there are two ways, though. There are two ways. And when Jesus looks at every assembly, he sees only two groups of people. The narrow way travelers and the broad way travelers. Hello? He said there are two ways. The narrow way and the broad way. Narrow way, only very few go by it. Broad way, many people go by it because it's the easy way. Huh? It's the easy way. When you go to the U.S. and see those cinemas, they write Broadway cinema. Have you seen it before? Huh? Broadway. See how they are showing the latest movies this week. You enter. They warned you already. Didn't they? They made it clear they are Broadway cinema. Cinema patronized by those who are on the Broadway. If you follow it and go to hell, for example, you can't say, I'm born again. I didn't expect to be here. They say, but we warned you. Is it there? It's Broadway cinema. Jesus said, narrow way, Broadway. Brethren, going to heaven is not easy. The Bible says, by much tribulation, we will do what? We'll do what? By much tribulation, by much difficulty. By much consecration, we will enter the kingdom of God. Brethren, I want to enter. I want to enter. And so, as I quickly begin to round up, can I say to us, that God gives people long rope. The age of the church in Thyatira was the longest. Nearly 1,000 years. Your lack of commitment and my lack of commitment, God is allowing us time to repent. And we're saying, Lord, help us to design the spirit of this church in our lives. Help us to design the spirit of Jezebel, feminist control in our time. Sometimes you don't know the difference again between those who are born again and those who are not. Even those who are carrying massive Bibles. It's no longer an evidence that you are born again. That's the truth. It's the life I live, the life you live that matters. It is what happens to your business place. What testimony is your business generating? That is the issue. Is your business an altar for God or just a means of livelihood? It's a question. It's a question. Can somebody deal with me in business and say, yes, I've dealt with the child of God? Last week, Saturday, we were dealing with, in Full Gospel, we were dealing with the Christian and his legal rights. The Christian, born-again Christian, and his legal rights. And I made very controversial statements, challenged by lawyers. I'm also a lawyer, a small-time lawyer, actually. I said, a born-again child of God, brother, you have no rights. The Bible says the call on your life is the call to die. The call on my life is the call to die. It does not mean that you have no right under the Nigerian Constitution. No? You do. You do. But Paul said, why does a brother take a brother to court? Abi? 1 Corinthians 6. He says, why do you not allow yourself to be defrauded? In dealing with a brother, you want to go to court, or you want to take him to court. He said, no. Take it to the brethren. Take it to the brethren. Take one person with you, Jesus said, and go to him. If he refuses, first of all, go to him. If he says no, take another person or two. Go to him. If he says no, take him to the church. If the church intervenes and he says no, he said, treat him like an unbeliever. Forget him. Because we're going somewhere. Hello? And heaven is a far country. That is the issue. So as we close now, my question is, Lord, is there a spirit of Jezebel in my own life? Is Jezebel alive inside of me? Do I have this inordinate ambition for worldly advancement that can truncate the spirit of God working in my life? So I told them on that Saturday, I said, look, one man was owing me money many years ago. And that debt he was owing me pushed me into a pit that I stayed in for 10 years. And one day I had the opportunity of taking him to court. I arranged everything to go to court. Papers were ready. Date chosen. Thursday that week. My lawyer was ready. On Wednesday as I was praying, the voice came. Say, my son, you cannot go to court. $4,000 in early 90s. It's not a small amount of money now. You can't go to court. I said, why? He said, because I have my oil on your head. And I can't afford to have you stand in an open court arguing with somebody over money. No, no way. I'll fight for you. From that moment, I learned that when you leave God to fight for you, hey, God is the greatest fighter. Ho. There's a mark on your forehead, though. As a child of God, that mark says, touch not my anointed. And do my prophet no harm. Anybody joking with you is joking with danger for his life. Praise the Lord. But if you decide to fight for yourself, God will let you go. Fight for yourself. Brethren, we must trust God at this point in time to expel everything about Jezebel inside of our lives. Everything that will make you look like on one side. You know, in the church in Laodicea, Jesus said, you are not hot. You are not cold. I wish you are hot or cold because I will not have to deal with you. But because you are not hot, you are not cold, I will spill you out of my mouth. I will put you where I put cold people. He wants me and you to be definite about following him. Yes. He wants when his wish clashes with my wish, let my wish surrender to his wish. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, "My Father, let to me and my will, this cup, I don't want to drink it. But not my will. Let your will be done." Every day we have a contest of wills with God. But the issue is whose will prevails. In my marriage, whose will prevails? In bringing up my children, whose will prevails? In my business, whose will prevails? Is it God's will or my will? Church in Thyatira. The Bible says, hold on till the end. Hold on till the end. The end is very near. Jesus is coming. If the end does not come globally, it comes for individuals. The day I drop dead, the end has come. The day you drop dead, the end has come. And nobody knows when. That is why the call is to be ready every day. Brother, be ready every day. Sister, be ready every day. Young girl, be ready every day. There is no excuse for young people. Everybody has the same hell we're going to, and standards are the same. Jesus is just there, you know, offering me salvation, offering you salvation. Are there challenges in your life? Are there problems that you're confronting now? Our master is an answer. I can tell you for free. It might be difficult. It might take time. The master might appear to be too late, but he is always on time. Don't be discouraged. Don't follow them to do evil. Others may, you cannot. Leave Jezebel and her beauty kit alone. Leave Jezebel and her manipulative powers alone. Leave Jezebel and her controlling spirit alone. Brother, sister, submit to the master. And I can tell you, his yoke is easy to carry, and his burden is light. Shall we pray? His yoke is easy to carry, and his burden is light. Hold on till the end. Hold on to the end. This prayer time is a time I'm supposed to be looking at my life. To say, Lord, what is it that has to do with Thyatira that is inside of me? In my family, in my business, in my relationships. That must be expunged. If I must breast the tape in glory. Think about it. Think about it. What is defiling your life? Business connection? Work, career, progress, family issues, children issues. Hey, the Bible says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Don't allow stuff to compromise your life. Said, I know your works, but I have some things against you. And those of you who are still standing, hold fast to what you have, because I'm coming very soon. As we are praying, if there's anything the Holy Ghost is just bringing up in your heart, an issue, confession to make, confess it. Issues to address, commit yourself to addressing them. Repentance to engage in, repent. Restoration to make, restore. Whatever it is that will reload you among those who are going to tribulation, the Antichrist and his program. Tell the Lord today, Lord, help me. Help me. Let the spirit of Thyatira, the spirit of Jezebel, not capture my life. Are you playing church politics? Jezebel. Hmm. Are you a woman and people look at you, and by the time they look at you, they see packaged to seduce. Packaged to seduce. You're not an inspiration for young girls to behave properly with virtue. That's Jezebel. Your daughters at home dress anyhow outside. That's Jezebel. Jezebel. These are issues we must raise to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us. If anybody is here today and you just want me to pray along with us, because brethren, it is not easy. The things we do that compromises us, sometimes we have very good reasons to do them. But God has promised to be available to us in times of need. If any of us here, as all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed and we are praying, if you are here and there are challenges that is trying to squeeze you into the mold of the world, and you tried to get yourself out and you couldn't, and you want us to pray with you, can I just see your hand up? If your hand is up, can I see your hand up? So we can pray together. Even if you're online, there are challenges confronting your life. There are issues. Or maybe perhaps you're not even born again. You've not met the Master. You've not met Him. You've been paying lip service to this matter. And somehow, today you're saying, I can't travel this road anymore. This road is too dangerous for me to travel. No, I won't anymore. You can bow down your head wherever you are in prayer and just ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life and take over. Take over completely. Take over completely. He should come in and not be a mere resident. Make Him president. Ask Him to be in charge. That issue in your family that is an issue, commit it to Him. Say to Him, Lord, this matter that is my challenge, I hand it over to You. The Bible says He cares for you, He cares for me. Deal with that. Deal with that. In Jesus' name, we pray. In Jesus' name, we pray. In Jesus' name, we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You. We bless You for today. We thank You for the encouragement of the Scriptures that's asked us to hold fast to what we have till the end. Lord, we pray for grace. We pray for mercy. We pray for virtue to enable us to overwhelm the spirit of this age. Help us, O Lord, our God, to finish well. We desire to hear welcome. We desire to hear well done. Lord, we commit our children into Your hands. Wherever they are all over the world, with their challenges and confusion, Father, we pray that the Holy Ghost will pursue them and overtake them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the spirit of this age, the spirit of Thyatira, will not overtake them. That syncretism will not be found in their lives. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as many of them as are drug-soaked and drug-burdened, we break that yoke today. We speak freedom to them. Lord, there's no geography where You are in power. Lord, overtake them. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You, our Father. Blessed be Your name, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. In Jesus' name, we pray. In Jesus' name, we pray.